District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joins us for our weekly legislative update.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, gentlemen. How we doing?
Pretty fair. How about you?
Really good.
Final parade of the season for you this weekend, right?
There were some high fives this weekend. It was, I think it was 11 parades total. And this
Holy smokes.
Oh, yes.
And you still had time to come to the gun show.
Absolutely. Every weekend has been a full weekend. I heard there was a football game in Lincoln Saturday, but yeah.
For at least a quarter there was.
No, actually, I later learned it was actually a track meet, so I didn't realize, so I didn't miss much, I don't think.
They fired Eric Shenander already. Yeah. Yeah. Defensive coordinator.
Well, we had a defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
In title and pay. Yeah, title and pay. I do want to tell you how much I appreciated seeing my sitting state senator at the gun show.
Both days.
That's my kind of guy.
Oh, you made it to both days, Mike?
Both days.
Wow.
Both days.
Wow. On top of an already busy weekend.
Well, you know, the weekend started out, I was in Wallace at 8 o'clock for the pancake feed. And I'm a pushover for the pancake feeds, and they do. I really enjoy the things they do down there. I mean that community really, like so many of these others, really go all out.
Yeah,
and get the maximum out of what they do. So I went down for that. The parade started at 10 o'clock, and so you go through the parade, and then I got back here and went to the Daughters of American Revolution. They had an event at 2:30 yesterday for Constitution Day. 234th anniversary of the signing of the Constitution, 125th anniversary of DAR, Daughters of the American Revolution. Mm-hmm. So that way rang the bells at 3 o'clock, which would have symbolized when the Constitution was actually signed. Mm-hmm. So that was a fun event. So that was at 2:30 in the afternoon. Then I headed out to the gun show. Spent time out at the gun show, bought a couple items. Actually, I bought an item. I think my wife is listening to this program, so she's probably thinking, well, what did you buy?
Uh-oh. Poor Mrs. Jacobson, quite the way to find out.
Well, actually, there were a couple items out, I think, about it. And if you don't count the jerky, okay, if you don't count
that
the jerky.
That doesn't count. That's already gone.
I figured that's quite true. So,
whoever was selling the jerky must have been doing well, because I had several people coming by eating them, and then one of the guys that I knew, he came by, offered a piece, and he said, you can never have enough jerky.
That's probably true, but I would tell you, he had one that somebody, you know, I like to get more of the mild stuff. Well, he had one that was ghost chili jerky.
Oh, my Lord.
Whoa. Yeah, and I think that one, people kept saying wasn't, you know, they were saying, well, get me something better. That one evidently did the trick. Okay, so I'll never try
almost
something like that.
Almost melt through the bag.
I think I might have been double bagged just for that. Yes.
I'm kind of in the same boat that you are, Senator. I don't like it when it's going to be that hot and spicy.
Yeah.
I like hot food, but I like some taste. I don't like hot for the sake of hot.
I agree.
Yep, I think you're right, Rick. So busy weekend for you, it sounds like, Senator, but a good weekend.
It was a good weekend. I always, it's always good to get out and meet people and shake hands and kind of hear what people are thinking, that's probably one of the enjoyable things about this process is you do get to hear from a lot of people, and you get different perspectives on how the world works, and it's been educational for me. I've enjoyed interacting with people, and it'll really kind of help me be a better senator.
Well, I've heard a few comments after you came by, and you'd stop and talk with me there for a little bit. And people are going, our senator's a gun guy? I said, yeah. And, oh, okay. So,
well, I think I bumped into people who still think, there were still people who didn't understand how I voted on constitutional carry.
Yeah.
And it's
Senator
still,
Brewer's bill?
Yes. I mean, I was a co-sponsor of the bill, mm-hmm. and voted for the bill. And it was really it was interesting, because what got confusing for people is through the process, the Omaha Police Union had negotiated that if in order to allow the Omaha senators to get behind the bill, they wanted a carve out so that it wouldn't apply to Douglas County.
Right.
Well, I don't know, from my perspective and from the perspective of all the constituents I heard from and the NRA. Why would you carve out one county? And in fact, if you drove through the Omaha metropolitan area, you could have a permitted gun in your console and be fine until you hit Douglas County and you'd be breaking the law. So,
seems complicated.
Well, yeah. So I voted against the amendment that would carve them out, and then voted for the clean bill. And we lost two senators, two of the Omaha senators, because we didn't have the amendment in it. But we picked up two of the other Omaha senators because the amendment wasn't included. So it really had no impact on the final bill.
Kind of a wash.
It was a wash. The bill fell two votes short of being able to pass, but the fact of the matter was it wasn't going to pass because we were missing two senators that would have taken us over the top. So I'm convinced that will pass this next year. It's a common sense thing in my mind. I think that when you look at a constitutional carry, you have to be permitted. You have to go through all the processes to get a gun permit in order to buy a gun, even for open carry. But then you have to use another process to be able to have concealed carry within the boundaries of the state of Nebraska. And the concern with that is, if you think of a person that's walking around, I don't know about you, but if someone's walking around and they've got a gun open carry and they're walking around a group of people in a social setting, people get a little nervous. Mm-hmm. But if that same person had that concealed, nobody'd know, nobody'd care.
No.
And then I think about, take for example, I know one of the female senators had made the comment through the testimony, if she's walking around and carrying a gun open carry, the chances of somebody seeing that, maybe trying to attack her, take the gun away, whatever, or if that gun's in her purse, nobody knows if she has the safety of having it available. And so that's a common sense piece of the bill.
I don't think there's a high probability of somebody seeing you wearing a weapon and then trying to attack you. That seems counterintuitive.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking more if you're looking, in her case, she was a younger, more petite individual, and her concern was, would somebody try to, cause a problem? And but long the short of it is, the key was, what's the difference between if you've purchased a weapon legally, you've passed everything that needed to be done to get to legally buy a gun. Why does it matter if it's concealed?
Yeah. In other legislative news, Senator Jacobson made note mentally late last week to ask you about Senator Susan Geist, as she's thrown her hat in the ring for another political office as the mayor of Lincoln. Personally, I'm a big fan of Senator Geist, but wanted to get your thoughts on your colleague and what your working relationship was with her this past session.
I had an outstanding working relationship with Senator Geist, and I was aware that she was going to throw her hat in the ring, but I had to keep that under my hat.
Sure.
It was interesting when I first got down to the legislature, and that the morning that I was sworn in, I immediately left and went to Speaker Hilger's office because they were running half days at the time. And so Speaker Hilger's, Senator Suzanne Geist, and about four other conservative senators met in the Speaker's office with me. And we kind of talked through the lay of the land and how the process worked. And Suzanne Geist, Senator Geist, sat right in front of me. And I had known her before, and so we were really good friends before I even got to the legislature, and so I had a very good working relationship. So I've got the speaker to my right, and I've got Senator Geist right in front of me. And so the speaker told me, he said, well, Senator, he said, now, if you're not quite sure how to vote on something because you haven't had a chance to look at it, he says, watch how Senator Geist votes and just follow her vote. So that was kind of
not a bad idea.
It wasn't a bad idea, and it was kind of a standing joke, because later on there were a few votes and she was slower putting her vote out there, and I would say, Suzanne, you gonna push your button or not? And and so we laugh about that, and she actually I saw her. I did go down for the first Husker football game, the first home game, and I did see her in the Champions Club, and we chatted, and we were joking about that again, and I told her that I was hopeful that she was going to proceed with throwing her hat in the ring for mayor of Lincoln, and she'd be a great mayor. She's really a wonderful person, and a very very articulate, very bright, somebody I think would just do a wonderful job.
I'm amazed at how she was able to overcome some of the challenges on, was it the Judicial Committee that Senator Lathrop chaired?
Yeah, Judiciary Committee, yeah.
Yeah, and my goodness, she did a great, she was on that committee as well. And
yes.
She and Senator Lathrop butted heads in a respectful manner, too, on the legislative floor. But Senator Geist really stood her ground, and I was very impressed by that.
You know, and yet she was very open-minded about everything that went on. And, you know, I will tell you that I bumped into, in my walks around town, I've bumped in now to three convicted felons who have spent time in prison, have told me their stories about their time in prison. My plan after the election is to get with every one of them, each one of them, to hear firsthand some of the issues. And it's been some interesting stories. We do have an issue with our prison population in that we have an overcrowding problem. If we build a new prison, which we need to do, it's still a matter of we've got to figure out how we're going to curb the tide in terms of the number of people in prison.
Sure.
The answer certainly isn't to just release a whole bunch of people, but it is.
Well, we've seen that work so well.
Yes, yeah, wow. And I think that was a big issue because LB 920 was a bill that was going to, that was really championed and by Senator Lathrop, who chaired the Judiciary Committee. And every filibuster, all we heard about was all of the issues on that particular bill. And Suzanne Geist had bought into a number of the reforms, which I agreed with. But there were 21 points, that the 21 changes they wanted to make. The governor, Suzanne, and I would include myself in that list, were all comfortable with the 17 changes they wanted to make.
Mm-hmm.
But there were others, like one of them was, it was going to be a geriatric carve-out, and I'm a little offended when they say geriatric, because they were saying anyone over 65 would be just be released. And it's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of, you know. So then what do we, so if someone goes out and commits a heinous crime and they're over 65, we don't put them in prison to begin with?
Or if you commit murder at 64, you're sentenced for 6 months or a year?
Exactly. And so some of that nuttiness that you look at, right, it just doesn't make sense. So there's certainly some reforms that can be made.
Sure.
But the problem was is that the bill could have passed and we could have had some of those reforms in law today and made some improvements, but it was an all or nothing. He was unwilling to amend the bill, and so the bill failed. It was kind of amazing, and I have to admire Senator Geist because she was opposed to those other changes, but yet she championed the issues that were going to make a difference, and mm-hmm. she worked in the body and to make those changes. But at the end of the day, it was all or nothing.
Ended up nothing.
It was going to be nothing. Yes.
I'm amazed, too, the outspoken advocate that Senator Geist is for the unborn, too. And I think we need somebody like that in the capital city leading the city as well. And I think that I saw another media outlet from the eastern end of the state mention that they've not had a Republican governor in Lincoln since, like, 99 when Governor Johans held that title for Lincoln. So I think we're maybe due.
Yes, I think that's right. And, you know, there's... It's been interesting. You know, both our kids live down in Lincoln, it's an interesting city when you start looking at it from a political perspective.
Yeah, it's interesting to say the least. I think we could use somebody like Senator Geist. So now that's an election. People probably were thinking, my goodness, she's announcing kind of late. Well, she's actually announcing. Was it a year early? Is it 2 years early?
I think it's next spring.
Is it next spring?
Yeah, it's a special election for the mayor. So the mayoral election in Lincoln does not fall in the regular election cycle. So I think it's May, if I'm not mistaken.
May of 23, maybe.
Yes, I think that's right.
Interesting. Yeah, people were probably listening to that going, wasn't the election in November? Well, yes, it is, but not the mayoral Lincoln election.
Correct.
So, Senator Jacobson, anything else you'd like to bring up this morning, sir, on the legislative front or locally?
Well, you know, it's been interesting again going around town. I've really enjoyed. I started knocking on doors back in early June, and it was interesting. As I've talked to people, I've talked to them about whether they'd be interested in putting up a yard sign, and I've told them all that we would wait till closer to the election before we'd go out and put them up, and so. That really worked out well because I was able to meet a lot of people and then had a bunch of volunteers that agreed to go out and get all the signs put up here, I think a week or so ago. And so they all came up pretty quickly, but in case anybody was wondering, yeah, those were all, I'd gotten permission from all the homeowners over the last 2.5 months. And so it was a, it's been a long process to get there, and I'm still talking to others and continue to get a lot of calls about, can I get one? So, but it's been kind of interesting to just see how things are, the landscape's changing, the yards are all changing, and of course now we're going to see kind of a full push there. But again, as you said too, the parades are coming to an end, and we'll be now everybody will be kind of focusing on other issues as we move to November. But I'm still spending a lot of time at the legislative offices. I try to get down there at least every other week and speak every day with my staff either through email or phone. And Joe was on vacation and he's coming back this week, but we've got a few things starting to pile up for research for him to do and working on a few bills for next year, one of them being the micro TIF bill and some changes there. So there's a lot going on, and I've appreciated hearing from people, and will still encourage people to contact my office if you've got issues, things that need to be fixed. We try to do what we can to get things handled. Some cases you need to contact an attorney. Some cases, you know, we're not the right stop, but we'll at least point you in the right direction.
It's federal, and not a lot you can
exactly.
do.
Exactly, yeah. Sure. Yes. Yeah.
Or maybe it's a state issue, but needs to be pointed to another office statewide. You can handle that too, point them in the right direction.
Yeah, and I can tell you it's a benefit of having a great staff because, you know, Christine and Joe have been around. They understand the issues. They've got contacts with other legislative offices, and so they can really get a lot of things done. And so I've really appreciated having them available. Christina did tell me last Friday that she had a lot of we had a lot of Oklahoma fans coming Uh-oh. Through the Capitol last Friday. They were all very nice.
Good.
And they were really surprised that our office was open. And that we, because they were touring the Capitol, and they came into our office, and which, by the way, we're one of the few legislative offices that actually have people there every day. But it's something I think is important. If we have people that want it, that are in Lincoln, they ought to be able to get into the office. And Joe and Christina do a great job of keeping it covered and getting things done. And there are several other senators who are there as well, but
sure.
there's several who are not.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, Senator Jacobson, if folks want to get in contact with you as our District 42 Senator, how can they do so, sir?
Best way to get a hold of me would be call the Lincoln office, which is 402-471-2729. And you can also email me. The legislative email is mjacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov.
Senator Jacobson, as always, we appreciate the time, sir. Look forward to seeing the studio again next Monday for our legislative update.
Great. Thank you very much.